Today on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, an award-winning guaranteed Irish company. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
I want to begin first this morning, though, with that IFA meeting in Fermoy Marsh last night. Up to 2,000 farmers attended the meeting in Cork to address concerns over the renewal of Ireland's nitrates derogation. The EU's Nitrates Directive aims to protect water from agricultural pollution by limiting the amount of fertiliser that farmers can use per hectare and effectively the number of livestock that they can have. The nitrates derogation was an opt-out from that directive that allowed 7,000 farms to apply more slurry than the average and therefore stock more animals. But the failures to improve water quality meant that it will be a hard ask now to get another derogation from the EU in January. For more, I'm joined on the line by Francie Gorman, President of the Irish Farmers Association. Good morning, Francie. Thanks for taking the call.
Good morning, Philip.
Is this derogation all but lost?
Anything but, Philip. And I think firstly, I suppose to explain to your listeners what the derogation is. The derogation was given back a number of years ago, basically to recognise the grass-based system that we have in this country and how we graze our livestock, which to your listeners is almost all year round, bar 2 or 3 months during the winter where our cows or livestock are out grazing. And The derogation takes account of that and allows us to use our nutrients or fertiliser or nutrients produced on farm in a way that maximises the use of grass and maximises the efficiency of how used.
And it was given, Francie, I'm correct in saying, wasn't it, if we were able to improve our water quality, which we haven't done, so why should we hold on to it?
And I think, Philip, to be fair, I take issue with that point that you've made. We have the fourth best groundwater quality in Europe. I think the latest EPA report, and there was a good bit of focus on that, shows that the nitrate loading has reduced across the country by 25%.
Francie, for the listeners who don't understand this, we have to put that fact in its proper context. We might be the fourth best in Europe, but everybody in Europe is failing to meet the water quality directives.
That may be the case. We have the fourth best groundwater quality in Europe, and we're the only country in Europe that has a derogation.
So fourth least worst would be the better way to describe it, wouldn't it?
Well, Philip, you know, I get up in the morning with the glass half full, not half empty. And to be fair, I think the amount of work that our farmers have done in trying to improve water quality, the amount of investment that has gone ahead on farm, not just in the last number of years, but in the last two decades, has been seismic. It's supported by our government through supports for farmers to do that. That's greatly appreciated. But I think if you go back to the meeting we had last night in Cork, it was a stakeholders meeting, not just an IFA meeting. It was a stakeholders meeting organised by us. We had over 2,000 farmers at it, and I think they were there to show their concern more than anything else about how important this derogation is for themselves. Also, our processing sector were there, hugely supportive of the meeting as well, how important that derogation is for the processing sector and the economic viability and sustainability
Absolutely.
Of rural Ireland.
Absolutely. I don't think it's disputed, Francie, by anybody that it will be very disruptive. Hang on a second. It will be very disruptive if it's lost. But let's just look at what it is that you have done in the IFA to try and retain it. Because 2 years ago, the EU Environment Commissioner came to Ireland, stood in the Department of Agriculture and said, Ireland, you've wasted your time in the last 2 years in the way that you have campaigned on this. I would encourage you to better use your time in the 2 years ahead. Now, your strategy in the last 2 years has been to say, just give us time. We will see better results come in if we wait. We have waited and those results haven't improved.
Anything but, Philip. We have put an amount of work in at farm level in terms of investment on farms, better farming practices, better use of our nutrients. We've been backed up by a huge investment from our co-op sector who process our milk, who have invested millions into advisors going out on farms, how we should farm better in a way that would improve water quality. And I take issue with the fact that it hasn't improved. It has improved. As I said, the 25% figure of less nutrients in our nitrates in our water, as confirmed by the EPA, is a stat we've got to recognise.
And we've It's still not meeting the standard. I mean, it's ironic that by coincidence you had your meeting last night in Fermoy, through which the Blackwater River flows. The nitrates levels at Lismore Bridge on the River Blackwater are 100% over the permissible limit. That's coming from agriculure.
We're not sure of that, but I think our chief economist, Ty Buckley, and director of policy, made a presentation last night, which tracked the water quality based on the population density of the country. And I mean, it's kind of ironic that the four counties with the highest density of population have the worst water quality. And the county with the highest density, the highest number of dairy cows in it, with the most farmers in derogation, County Cork, is fourth best in water quality.
An awful lot to do with soil type as much as it has to do with the amount of animals and agriculture practices.
It has an awful lot got to do with the other pressures that come on our water bodies and not just farmers.
Let me talk about another thing that the IFA could have done in the course of the last 2 or 4 years on this. Derogation farmers are generally the more progressive and the more compliant, rules compliant of farmers, and they are now going to be penalised for what is arguably the failure of non-compliant farmers, the guys who are out there spreading slurry at times of the year when they shouldn't be doing it. Did the IFA do enough to make that practice socially unacceptable?
We have, Philip, and we've called it out at every opportunity we get, the need for people to be compliant in the slurry spreading dates. And I'd hear it at meetings saying that this calendar farming doesn't work and there's no science base to it. There is. We've acknowledged that time and time again. And people need to adhere to the slurry spreading dates. And it's not just farmers out of derogation or farmers in derogation. Whoever is not complying with it needs to be compliant. And we've done that. And I think the frustrating thing that came out of last night's meeting was that there's still no clear indication that when water quality as a whole is looked at, that the other pressures on our water quality, on the quality of water in our rivers, the urban wastewater treatment plants, the runoff from towns and cities and our roads into our rivers is not taken into account.
That's also not true, because the analysis of the sources of pollution is very clear. Yes, there is absolutely pollution from municipal wastewater treatment plants. Yes, from industry as well. But far and away, the biggest source of pollution is agricultural activity.
Of course it is, Philip, because we have...
Then it doesn't really look
industry.
Good
it's
for the IFA to point the finger of blame elsewhere, does it?
I think, Philip, to be fair, since we came on this interview, you've pointed the blame solely at agriculture, as if we are the only sector that has an imprint
no,
on water.
I've just acknowledged wastewater treatment plants are a big problem.
I think the point I'm trying to make to you is that particularly in the last 2 to 3 years, since the derogation was cut, the stocking rate was cut from 250 to 220, it has concentrated the whole sector on the need to improve water quality. And there has been an amount of work going on in that.
But 25% of dairy farms still don't have sufficient slurry storage.
We continually get this, that we've got to do X, Y, and Z. And as late as last June, only 3 months ago, the Habitats Directive that came in 1992 has been thrown up in our face in a way that we have to comply with this. First country in Europe been asked to do it. Why should we be the guinea pigs for this? And at the end of the day, we've got to see a recognition, and I don't see it, of the work that has been done by farmers to try and improve water quality, by our co-ops, that the people who will decide on this in Europe, the European Commission, who make a recommendation on this, people who nobody knows, civil servants are going to have to make a decision on whether this can go for a vote or not. And that is not good enough.
We have to explain this to people, that the additional requirements of the Habitats Directive are going to place a very significant bureaucratic or regulatory burden on farmers. But explain to me, why do you think a business should not be required to prove that it can operate in a way that doesn't harm the environment?
I never said that. We have, and there's, to be clear, and this was stated on a number of occasions at the meeting in Cork last night, we're not looking for a free pass in this. We have invested, as I said earlier, millions in our business. We've amended our practices around how we farm for the better. We get it, Philip. We export 90% of what we produce to high-value markets around the world. And those people want to see environment, water quality are issues for them, that they want to see the food that they eat, that they put on their table, produced in a manner that recognises that. And we do as an industry, from farmer right through to processor. And to be fair, I think through the political system now, we have buy-in right through from the department to the Department of the Taoiseach, who has been in contact with Ursula von der Leyen on this issue. A political decision will eventually decide whether we hold on for derogation or not. And all we're looking for is fair play, that the work that we've done will be recognised, that if we need more time, that we get it. You can't have the goalposts shifting like they have from June to now and expect that in 6 months...
But you've been asking for more time for 4 years. Francie, you've been asking for more time for 4 years. Meanwhile, as I already said and you didn't address, 25% of dairy farms don't have enough slurry storage. Is that not what you should be doing instead of asking for more time?
And we have looked time and time again for this to be addressed. There's a huge issue with the planning process in this country. If farmers apply now to put up slurry storage in the morning, we have serial objectors that put in an objection to anybody looking for planning permission for the most menial amount of slurry storage, and it hasn't been addressed. Hopefully it will be. We want to see supports put in there. Like any industry that comes into this country is supported financially to set up, to get going. And we want to see that level of support given to farmers, that when they go to build, they'll be able to do it, and that the planning permission, the planning process, will not object, will not hold up this work being done. And this has been a constant theme for the last 2 years. And I think the point you say that we've got 4 years, or we had 4 years to comply with this, we've had 6 months, we've had 3 months since June to comply, or to get what we have to do to comply with the Habitats Directive around in our heads and see what sort of solution we can get to it. And we're working.
Final question.
Let me finish this. We're working with the Department of Agriculture to try and see what sort of solution we can come to put to DG Envy, that hopefully they will put a recommendation to Nitrates Committee so we can vote in this spring.
Francie Gorman, final question to you. Final question to you. It has been apparent for quite some time now that the 7,000 farmers in derogation were going to be looking at a cliff edge in January if the derogation goes, or I should probably more accurately say when the derogation goes. Would you not have been much better occupied in the IFA in the course of the last 2 years working out a plan B, an off-ramp for this nitrates derogation for when it does go?
Firstly, Philip, your assumption when the derogation goes. We don't assume that the derogation is going to go, and we can't countenance a situation where we have our 7,000 dairy farmers hung out to dry. The one sector that can bring home the next generation of farmers to farm, that there has been a constant income that could justify that. And we politically, our masters have got to ensure that when the plan goes to Brussels, that it's accepted, but that plan has to ensure that we hold on to that derogation, that the farmers that are in it stay in it, and that if some young farmer comes home to farm and he takes on an underdeveloped farm, that he will be able to apply and be able to farm at that level. Because to be clear, the one thing the figure shows, that is where the profit is in dairy. And if we want to have a viable industry in rural Ireland, we lose that derogation. That is going to be challenged in a huge way.
Francie Gorman, thank you very much. The EU Environment Commissioner Jessica Roswell is here on Friday, so we will watch this space for developments. The Minister for Enterprise has suggested that employees of Fastway, the courier company which went into receivership yesterday, could access financial assistance through community welfare officers. Workers at the company told RTE News yesterday that they can't access social welfare benefits or start a new job elsewhere because they've been told they are still employed by the company during a 30-day consultation period, despite the fact that they are not going to be paid this month. On his way into Cabinet this morning, Peter Burke said he is working very closely on a response to this on the issue of packages and goods held in Fastway depots. He said the receiver will have an obligation now to ensure that they are delivered. Coming up a little bit later on in the programme, we will have help for you filling in your local property tax return if you're still unclear about what to do. So you can get your questions into us on 51551. Or via WhatsApp on 0870 32 32 32. Up next this morning, though, if the EU cracks down on cheap products from China, will it force us to actually shop local?
Today on RTE Radio 1.